But it is always a privilege to open the Word of God for the body of Christ. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you want to go ahead and open your Bible there. And the title of tonight's message, I thought appropriately, it's out of the passage, Speak, for your servant is listening. And it came to me recently, I'll share about that in a sec, but one of the things that so often comes up in the body of Christ, it comes up a lot in prayer up here, is we want to hear the voice of the Lord as a believer. And I mean, that's just our desire. We can hear our wife's voice, our husband's voice, our children's voice, but we have the deepest relationship with the Lord, and yet do we hear his voice all the time? And so just that desire to hear. And I'm not sure where you're at, you know, in hearing from the Lord, but I've had times where I hadn't heard from him for a while. And the other times where it's a daily thing, and you're just, wow, Lord, thank you, pouring out to me and speaking to my heart. And maybe you're the one that hears everyone else talking about how, oh, the Lord told me this, and he spoke to me on that, and you're going, what on earth? Does everybody but me hear from the Lord? And, just to realize, wow, we do have an opportunity tonight to be reminded that the Lord is speaking, and we can hear from him. And so we're going to look at a portion of Scripture that will hopefully encourage you in hearing from the Lord and remind you that he wants to speak to you. I was actually just very recently, and that's where this teaching was sparked to choose this passage, but I was at a prayer meeting, and I've been just kind of personally going through a time in my heart where just a little bit of a struggle with ministry and things that are going on with me privately. And it was just so neat at this prayer meeting. It was like this retreat with the Lord, just with some brothers in Christ. Interestingly, some of the guys from the North Shore Christian Fellowship who were just in the midst of some heaviness right now. But we're just praying, and it was like the Lord just, boom, spoke to me, and he spoke very distinctly and just released me from this situation I've been going through. And I walked out of there just going like, man, Lord, I heard you loud and clear, and you've released me, you've set me free, and thank you. And that's not always how he's going to speak, but that's what brought this to mind. And I just was reminded how I want to hear the Lord speak in my life. I want to hear his voice. I want to be tuned in. K-Light Radio, I'm the station manager here at 1040 AM K-Light Radio. And that's always kind of our little theme is we're broadcasting the word of God that others may hear, Romans 10:17. But the idea is that as faith comes by hearing, it's being transmitted, and we're doing our part as the Lord is always doing his part. But the receiver it's up to you to turn on your radio and listen to it. And as believers, just tuning in and listening. So let's go ahead and look at 1 Samuel 3. I'll read straight through first. It says in verse 3, chapter 1, Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and a word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, Here I am. Then he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call. My son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you, that you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. The Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, that you speak continually, that you've spoken eternally through the scriptures. And Lord, may it just ring true in our ears. May your Holy Spirit minister to us. Lord, may you bring us, whether we're in mourning, bring us to joy. Lord, whether we're inattentive, Lord, bring us to full attention to you. Lord, maybe we're just coasting. Lord, I pray that we would get back up and start pedaling. Lord, may you just speak to our hearts, and may your Spirit fill the word of truth right now in our hearts, that it would just come to life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am going to set this over here, because there's like a Pua-Kenny-Kenny tree growing out of my nose right now. Thing is potent. Thank you. My friend gave this to me. It was quite a blessing. So back to verse 1, and we'll just kind of pick it apart verse by verse here. But Samuel was ministering to the Lord, and he was a boy. And he was ministering to the Lord before this elder priest Eli, who we'll see was just about 100 years old. And Samuel, we can't really know, but he was a boy, thinking elementary school age. And so the word in the Lord was rare those days. And why was that? Why were visions infrequent and the Lord not, you know, people not hearing the Lord? Was it that he was silent? And a lot of times that can be how it feels. But sadly, there were no holy men of God at that time listening for the word of the Lord. Prophets were scarce. That's why the word of the Lord was scarce. That's why visions were infrequent. And this was somewhat of a dark period in Israel's history. We see that there wasn't a real, you know, Israel has a very checkered past. And this was one of those dark checkers in their background. But they were a disobedient and obstinate people, the Bible says. And at that time, the Lord was speaking through his prophets. And as there were not too many prophets around, who's going to hear? We have a privilege nowadays. It's prophesied in Joel and then repeated in the book of Acts that the Lord would descend upon his people, and young men would dream dreams, old men would have visions, and we would hear from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit would come upon us, and now he dwells within us. So we get the opportunity without prophets, without priests. But what a sad state of affairs. And as I mentioned in Romans 10, it starts in verse 14, but 10:17 is Kalite's tag scripture for K-Lite Radio. But Romans 10:14, it says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." The word of God wasn't going out, unfortunately. It was going out, but it wasn't going out through his vehicle, the priesthood and the prophets. The condition of the priesthood was quite indicative of the nation of Israel at that time. In the previous chapter, Eli's sons their names are Hophni and Phinehas, and they're basically described as worthless men. It says it there in chapter 2. And they were stealing the choice meats. These guys were responsible for the nation of Israel bringing their sacrifices and their offerings. They were stealing that choice meat before it was even offered for themselves, and really robbing these people of their offering to the Lord. They were also, it mentions, laying with the women that were serving at the entrance to the tabernacle. And so these guys had just gone so corrupt, and yet this was the priesthood. They were in ministry, totally ignorant to the holiness of the Lord and to serving him for what it really is. Total deaf ears, I would say, to his voice. Deaf ear reminds me of growing up here on the radio when I was a kid or whatever, but there was Primo Beer always had these ads, and Primo had a dog, Chansom, and his dog Chansom would talk to him, and he'd go, "Hey, Primo, no can hear. I get beer in my ear." And these, I just, for whatever reason, that one has always stuck with me. But these guys had choice meats and the women in the tabernacle area in their ears. They weren't hearing the Lord at all. And it's just a reminder that whatever it is, you know, whether in ministry or not, that we can't have anything inside our ear. We have to be open-eared unto the Lord. And so the visions were infrequent, and as I mentioned, but then came, later in history, before us, but not soon after this, Pentecost. And as I was mentioning in Acts chapter 2, it says, "For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And so what's something to look forward to and then being fulfilled later in history than the Lord descending upon his people and his spirit being released within us? I always mix that up. It's the young men had visions and the old men dreamed dreams. But that's out of Acts chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord is speaking, and he says in Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice, I will come in and sup with him." That's S-U-P, stand up paddle, my sister tells me. He'll come sup with you. No. But he'll come in and engage with us if we respond to his voice where he's trying to engage us. At all times. And so he makes it clear, the Lord Jesus, that he's always accessible. That's why the gospel is such easy news to bring to people. Hey, Jesus is ready and available, and he's always wanting to speak to us and always seeking to engage us through his Holy Spirit. So it's not necessarily that the Lord has fallen silent here upon Israel and shut off. It's just that Israel isn't hearing him. There's no listening going on. And so it happened at that time in verse 2, as Eli was lying down in his place, and it says in parentheses, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he couldn't see well. And so now we begin to see where Eli is at in the ministry. He's laying down. Well, Samuel was too, but Eli was laying down. It mentions that his eyesight was dim. In the next chapter, it says that he was heavy. So he had just grown lax in all of his things, and his health had even deteriorated. But Eli was growing old. He'd been a nominal priest. This was near the end of his 40-year ministry. He had become quite hands-off, sort of backseat driving with his two sons, whom he knew their character. It was no mystery to him or all of Israel. He sort of had semi-retired and let them run things. And so they were corrupt, and he let them do as they pleased. And he basically resigned any responsibility for the ministry and for his calling that the Lord had put on him. Resigning any responsibility, that's a big one. And he had done so. And I just think, you know, immediately when you see this older guy lose his eyesight's going, and you look at the spiritual metaphor that brings out. You know, sadly, as Christians grow older in the Lord, our spiritual eyesight tends to dim. It's just, I mean, I see it in myself and, you know, the last 12 years that I've been back with the Lord. But our youthfulness in our Christian walk, it changes. And it matures sometimes to crustiness. And we become crusty old men and women in Christ. But it seems that we begin to take our relationship with the Lord for granted. And familiarity always, it breeds contempt, but it also it kicks in. Instead of being excited, instead of being stoked on the Lord, you're familiar. You know, as I've heard John Corson call Eli, he's an old pro. He had it wired, and you know, just let it ride, let it go. And I know what's happening. I've heard these messages before, and so that's just a tendency. And with that comes boredom. I see this threat, like I said, in my own spiritual eyesight. And that was kind of what led to this. Again, that prayer meeting, and it was just like the Lord, like, boom, opened my eyes to go, hey, Jake, don't Don't be shutting your eyes. Don't be going blind on me. And I get to see the Lord, you know, in the 12 years that, as I've said, I grew up as a believer, but I more recently recommitted my life to the Lord. In the last 12 years, I've seen him do so many things personally, and he's so faithful. And yet here, you know, I can say that my eyes can become dim. He brought me out of Egypt over the Jordan and into the promised land, into Canaan land, the abundant life, you know, just from an extreme carnal lifestyle to this spiritual life. He brought me, I got to see Calvary Chapel Honolulu come from these tight little quarters downtown to this 6-acre campus that we haven't even fully developed out yet. And just thriving ministry and thriving entertainment. And he helped me through, you know, losing some family members and losing dear friends, and kept me comforted as through their passing. Faithful all the time. He brought me a wife out of thin air. You know, almost 30 and a pastor, just like, no time for worrying about that, Lord. I trust you. Bah, poof. And Dorita's in my life, and now I have a, you know, a beautiful baby girl and a son on the way, and that's just testimony to the Lord's faithfulness. He took this selfish single surfer and he's turning me into a family man, you know. Transformed my sister's life, my cousin's lives, guys that were dead end, and you guys have your own testimonies. I've heard his word taught for sure, and just been blessed years by years. I was thinking about it, but from my childhood, it's, I may have heard Pastor Bill teach through the Bible twice now, you know, if I think about just, that's a lot. It's a lot of teachings, you know. And what just seeing how the Lord, all these years, he just keeps ministering to us and going, he's been so good to us. Each one of you, however long you've been in the Lord or you know, brand new, he's been faithful from the get-go. But you sometimes you just take those past experiences, we can take them as enough. I sort of rest on your laurels, and I see this in Eli. You know, you sort of, rather than going out and winning more victories, you can just go and revisit that trophy room and just kind of polish up those trophies and, you know, yeah, remember that? Rather than going out, you know, and scoring more victories for the Lord and letting him do more things big for our lives. But think about it, Eli, there, no question he wasn't always dim-sighted. His eyesight was going bad, and we're speaking metaphorically, but he used to be bright-eyed. He was, at one point, he was a brand new Levitical priest and really probably very aware of the holiness of the Lord when he walked into that Holy of Holies in the middle of the tabernacle. And just in awe of, wow, I get to be before the living God. And yet, you know, at this point, he's done it over 1,000 times. He's done it thousands of times. And it wasn't a passion anymore. I heard an interesting point regarding this, you know, kind of the diminishing nature of our spiritual walks. And it's not, you know, I don't think we're at fault. Well, somebody said, I've been with the Lord a while and you know, I can't be a new believer all, you know, continually. I'm not a new believer anymore. It's not new. It's not brand new anymore. So when I hear people say that, it just frustrates me. I mean, I love the Lord, but it's not new. And yeah, I totally agree. And I just thought about that. And, you know, we're not the same new believer we once were, but rather we've had all this time to be refined through all these years. We're newer than before in Christ. And so all the more reason to just shine for him. And shine brighter now, maintain a greater testimony of his faithfulness, as Eli, I'm sure, had. And so excel still more, the New Testament tells us. And Eli, you know, just had kind of handed in his baton to his sons that he knew he should really hadn't been, you know, diligent with. And it says here, continuing on in verse 3, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the Ark of God was. So he was sleeping right next to the Ark of the Covenant. And the fact that the lamp had not gone out, well, really they keep the lamp going continually. It was a continual reminder of the presence of the Lord there in the Holy of Holies in the middle of the sanctuary. But he's laying on the floor right next to that. And the fact that it had not gone out, well, you know, at daybreak, when the lamp would diminish and they'd refill it, It's speaking of the time of day that it was, or the time of night. So this was the middle of the night, and the Lord is coming to Samuel in his sleep. And the Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel said, "Here I am." And I think of this, you know, have you ever answered the phone in a certain way because you think it's somebody, but then you, oh man, when they talk back, oh, and you know, "Hey, sweetheart." "Oh, hi, Pastor Bill." Yeah, you know, and you're way off track. I thought it was my wife and it was my boss, or, you know, whatever. "What's up, fool?" "Oh, mom." No. But however the case, it's a case of mistaken identity here. And, you know, Samuel, little guy, he just didn't know who it was. It was calling him. And Samuel was responding to Eli how he should respond to him. "Here I am," gets up and walks over to him. "Here I am." But actually, it was the Lord on the other end of the line. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And so the voice of the Lord calling out, and he heard it. He was one of the sheep that belonged to the shepherd. And yet he didn't know the shepherd was calling him yet. And so in verse 5, he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." So he went away and lied down. And you think about the fact that he got up and ran. It's funny how confused we can be when we're, you know, caught sleeping, when we're interrupted in our sleep. My daughter is so funny. She's going to be 2 in less than a week. And sometimes I'll come in and I'll wake her up, or she hears me and wakes up. And so she's just fresh up, and she just wakes up kind of sleepy-eyed and ponders the room. And she doesn't really even, hasn't woken up yet. And she says the funniest, irrelevant, random things, but stuff like, you know, "Emma, go swimming?" And, you know, it's 6 in the morning, and she just woke up, and she wants to go. I don't think she really meant that. She just needed to say something, and that one's in her cache, you know, for something to say. But it's just so funny how confused, you know. And here Samuel, even though he's out cold, pops up, and he's ready. And so he doesn't really know what to do. He goes to Eli. Probably had a cute little guy's voice. And the Bible says that his mom made him a little miniature priestly robe with a little ephod, the breastplate of judgment, a little miniature one. Just a little. I just think that's just so cool. This guy was called by the Lord as a priest, and yet he's just tiny. And it goes to show you, it's a calling, isn't it? It's not a qualification that the Lord puts on the ministry. And so, verse 6, the Lord called yet again, "Samuel," and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. Now Samuel's mom, as you recall, was Hannah, if you may recall, and she was barren for years, and she was one of 2 wives to Elkanah. And Peninnah, the other wife, had children and kind of made her life hard because she couldn't bear children. Although Elkanah, his favored wife was Hannah, even though she didn't bear children. And she was praying and she asked the Lord, and the Lord actually finally met her desire. But when she prayed, she told the Lord, "I'll give you my son, my child for the ministry. I'll give him right back to you, Lord, but just give me a child." And sure enough, the Lord honored that. And so now she has honored her, you know, promise to the Lord. And that's why Samuel here, as a little guy, is already ministering in the tabernacle. But why would an apprenticing young priest, a little guy, not yet have been taught these things? I mean, he's there in the right next to the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, the cherubim are upon the mercy seat where the Lord comes and descends, and his presence is there in the midst of Israel, the Shekinah glory of God. And Samuel hasn't been told that God can speak to you. He doesn't even know that yet. Nobody had told him about the presence and the glory of the Lord. It was unrevealed glory. So many in the world, the glory of God has not yet been revealed. And in ministry, there's no place for that. And we'll see that, you know, the Lord had his timing. Eli was doing the service of the Lord, though, without the voice of the Lord. If he wasn't teaching Samuel, it's very unlikely that he was in touch with God's voice himself. And so Samuel, on the other hand, was heeding the voice of the Lord and listening without yet knowing the Lord of the voice. You know, what a good place to be. I mean, already just having a heart prone to obey and to follow and to listen. That's where he was. And how can we, you know, be a disciple of Christ if we are not receiving his discipline the key word in discipline is disciple, the acting word. And so we have to take on those disciplines and listen. And there's this expectancy that we can have, like Samuel, that he's going to talk. I got to be ready, whether I'm asleep or not. I've had friends that are in the armed services, and they just seem to, like, they're on call all the time as soldiers and training and everything. And so they just seem to pop up. And I had one friend, whenever we'd go surf, dawn patrol or whatever, he'd call me. He was the guy that I could depend on to get up and get me in the water. But, because he was just at the drop of a hat, he was attentive and ready and, sir, yes, sir. And, he wanted to go. And that's kind of how Samuel's already got that heart and that attitude. He was ready and expectant, even in his bed, just ready to roll. And so the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose, he went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. Okay, maybe there's a pattern here. Yeah, Eli, you're starting to figure this out. The Lord's trying to get someone's attention. And I wonder how many times the Lord would have had to have keep calling if, maybe myself or one of us was there. And, son, this is the 37th time. Go back and lay down. Nobody's calling you. Before the Lord finally, hello. Oh, it's the Lord. He's calling Samuel. Eli finally, he discerned what's going on. He's like, okay, here's what you do. And so he's going to give him a prescription. But how diligent is Samuel that every time he pops up and walks over in his sleep? I go back to my daughter, but when she was still nursing, and if any of you have kids and you remember that time, or you're going through that time where you're getting up, if mom's breastfeeding and just constantly to get the baby. So our tradition, of course, most dads, you go get the baby out of her room, bring her to mom and be the loving husband. But after a while, you kind of you get sleepy and I got to work tomorrow. And I just kind of like fake like I didn't hear it and wait for Dorita to nudge me, or the worst is she would actually get up and then I really feel, no, sit, just lay down, sweetheart. But the whole idea of kind of slacking off and responding. And Samuel very well could have, just slept after the first time, slept through it and said, it's not Eli. Or, if they really want to get my attention, they can come and get me. But he got up each time diligently to respond. How faithful that is. And so Eli said to Samuel, now here he gives him the right way to do this. Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came, and look at this, he stood and called him at his other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. The Lord came and stood right there in his presence. And yet, he didn't see the Lord, but he heard the Lord. And just a reminder, the Lord is always with us. He stands by our side. And, as mentioned earlier, he stands with Mike and Karen Stengel right now and all of the people out there in the North Shore Fellowship. He is right there. He came and he stood immediately when Mike and Karen got that news. He's so faithful. And I don't know much about the families, but I know that the Nguyen family that lost the mom and the wife, I don't know if they know the Lord, but the Lord is standing in the midst of that. And he's standing in the guy, Samson, I think is his first name, who got hit in the leg. And he's standing in that young girl from Kalihi that got hit. He's right there. He's standing there. And here, Samuel is, now he hears and he knows how to respond. But he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that's the title of this message. And we'll go through at the end just five or six quick points on listening and hearing the Lord. But this listening ear is key. And I'm I like to scribble and stuff in my margins. I have an ear, sketched a little ear right next to this passage, like my ear right here. And with sound waves speaking into it. Because I want to be listening to the Lord. I want to always be a servant who listens. And truly, he was a servant and willing to not just ministering unto the Lord, as it says in verse 1, but listen. And the Lord said to Samuel, I just called. No, I'm sorry. I told my wife I was going to do that joke, but he didn't sing Stevie Wonder. But he said, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them." Not only were they his sons, they were in ministry. So, you know, there's already a responsibility just for us to be diligent as parents. But these guys were in ministry, and it's a higher calling. And Eli's sin was that of neglect. He had basically shirked his responsibility in the Lord. He'd excused himself. It's interesting, and I'm finding this to be true, the further I go on in ministry, and, you know, it's been about 10 years now, full-time ministry, or maybe 9 years. But I'm in a position now where I can excuse myself. And I think of Pastor Bill, I mean, he can excuse himself from anything. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be servants. As he said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And so realize that in whatever, wherever we are in our walk with the Lord, that we don't take it for granted, you know. You see it in a workplace sometimes, and it's a shame, but where somebody in higher position, they take it for granted because they can. And they kind of shirk responsibility upon others rather than maintaining that diligence. And so here's Eli's sin, and he did not rebuke his sons. "And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." And so the priestly offerings that these priests were actually, like I said, taking the best off. They would take the fat before it was burned, that part that the Lord said, "That's for me." They would take it before and preempt that sacrifice to the Lord. And it wasn't their sacrifice, it was the sacrifice of others. And, you know, it's like robbing the bag as it goes around here during the tithes and offerings. But these were the priests. It would be as if Pastor Bill, as it's going by, he takes out. That's not how it works. And such a shame. And so the Lord said, those are of no effect to atone sin, the sacrifices that you're putting before. They're not going to atone your sin and the priesthood. You know, the Lord is merciful upon the nation, but not the priesthood. And you'll see in the very next chapter that this prophecy is fulfilled. Samuel's first prophecy as a little guy, and it's fulfilled. And you know what? Not one of his words failed, the end of this chapter said. Not one of the words that the Lord spoke to Samuel failed the rest of his life. And actually, none of them ever fail. So everything that we see prophesied here in the Word of God will not fail, has not failed. It's one of the best proofs for this text being supernaturally from the Lord. It just doesn't fail. But in the next chapter, it says that the judgment was passed upon his sons. Israel went into battle with the Philistines. They brought the ark with them, Hophni and Phinehas, and the reason they brought it, a good luck charm. The priests, they basically said, if we take it with him, with ourselves, maybe it, the ark, will deliver us. And they were counting on this good luck charm, this rabbit foot. And unfortunately, because they were, well, really to the fortune and God's will, the fortune of Israel and the priesthood, they were right there in the front line or whatever with the ark. They were both killed, and 30,000 Israeli soldiers were killed, and the ark was taken by the Philistines. And when Eli heard this news, their father, it said that and that's a passage in chapter 4, it says he was very heavy. And it says that he fell back from his seat and broke his neck and died when he heard that news. So the sons died, Eli died. God had taken care of that, that misappropriation within the ministry. And then his daughter-in-law, Eli's daughter-in-law, who was married to, I can't remember if it's Hophni or Phinehas, but one of them, she heard the news as she's about to go into labor. And she hears that the ark had been, her husband had died, her father-in-law had died, and the ark had been taken. And as she hears that, she's about to die, and she goes into labor. She's giving birth to her son, and she's going to die. And she died in childbirth. But she said, his name shall be called Ichabod, for the glory has departed. And that was the fulfillment of the prophecy. The glory of the Lord had departed from Israel and from the priesthood. And it was a sad state of affairs. And this was the news that Samuel was given to share with his spiritual father, so to speak, his mentor in the ministry, and tell him, hey, I know I'm a little guy and you're 100 years old, but this is what God told me to tell you. Very grave situation. The glory of the Lord is going to depart, and we see it happen. And here Samuel, he lays down in verse 15 until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell this vision to Eli. And I understand that, being afraid. And then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. He said, what is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And Eli's response was, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And you know, Eli's response, he already knew. I believe that Eli already knew what was coming his way. He already knew what he had coming. Well, in the previous chapter, he had been given warning by one of the scarce prophets in chapter 2, told him, hey, you know, it's coming, judgment from the Lord for your responsibility with your sons. And he was convicted, obviously. Let him do what seems good to him. But he wasn't responding to conviction. That's a very dangerous place that I believe can lend to absolute backsliding and leaving the Lord when we don't respond to conviction. And it's quite often still and small and silent in its nature. But Eli knew, and he really cops out. He'd rather wait to hear it secondhand than to have the Lord present it to him himself. It's so easy to do when it comes to relationships. Like, oh, I don't want to confront, I don't want to go deal with that. I'll just wait till it comes my way. Or hiding from your responsibility and your accountability. And here, the Lord loves us. And that's just a reminder, the Lord is a God of grace. Jesus gives the parable of the servants, the stewards that were given certain amounts of money, and the first one, he just buried it because he didn't want to lose it, and he was just so afraid that if anything happened, that my master was a harsh master, and he would punish me for it. And the Lord gave the parable. The other guys invested and multiplied it, and the first guy in that parable, he was the fool for being so cowardly, and for not stepping out in faith. And going out and doing something for the Lord, he had the Lord all wrong. The Lord is a God of grace. His master was actually going to be gracious to him if he took risk with it. And so that's what the Lord wants with us. We can try and weasel, and I know about that, but around standing before the Lord, but it's not going to change the outcome. It didn't change Eli's outcome, even though he was pretty weaselly in this situation. And so what did he say, Samuel? What did he say? One thing that's not admissible as believers, as Christians, is to withhold the word of the Lord from others. Can't do it. We do not have that permission from the Lord to do that. And it can be easy to assume that non-confrontational stance and that role in our lives, always avoiding uncomfortable situations, never wanting to rock the boat. And I think it comes with maturing in the Lord. You realize that, oh yes, you need to. I learned a lot of those lessons, well, in the ministry, but really in marriage, because you have to rock each other's boat or open up, and it's part of life. But I always was that passive, non-confrontational, what's up, Ross? It's all good, and really just didn't want to cause anything. I'm friends with everybody, President Obama. But people that just like to please, and the Bible, I'm sorry, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted, the Bible says in Proverbs 29. And so rocking the boat, that temptation can often be, you don't want to do that. That's often just total self-serving. And when we look at it for what it is, it's not that we don't want to upset others, it's that we don't want to deal with them being upset. And so Samuel, he demonstrated great courage as this little guy, great faith in the Lord at such a young age. if you would have withheld it, reminded me of 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. They just wanted to hear what they want to hear. And so, there's teachers out there that are already meeting the desires of the people rather than bringing the word of God. And Samuel, he wasn't ready to do that. He already had realized that God is, worthy. And so we can't afford to be non-offensive all the time. I think we need to present the truth in love. But you think about it, Jesus, he offended a whole nation, an entire nation. He offended the entire planet for all eternity. The Lord has become a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling. And we need to see that and realize that he is... set that example for us. And so, wrapping it up, thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, know that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So he prospered in the Lord from that simple first step of faith. God never let Samuel down by denying him any of those prophecies. They were all fulfilled. Starting with that first one. And this little guy wearing this little ephod, little miniature priestly robe, began great things for the Lord. By what? By listening to the voice of the Lord. And so I just thought I'd look real briefly at the conditions that surrounded that, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And we look at who. Who is the Lord speaking to? He spoke not to Eli, the dim-sighted, grown-up, aged expert, but to a little boy. And a boy who was, it says in verse 1, ministering to the Lord. Jesus said, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter into it at all. And we need to approach the Lord in the same way Samuel did at the beginning of his ministry as a child. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to ever wrestle with childlike faith. There's no turmoil for him. He just brings it upon their hearts. Children don't struggle in their mind with doubt and skepticism. It's not something that they waste their time with. They don't complicate love. If they tell you they love you, they love you. It's pure and simple. There's nothing to it. Their minds aren't constantly scrolling through data and appointments and phone calls and checklists and things we got to take care of. And I tell you, that for me is a big distraction when it comes to my devotional life. Is always there's things I got to do and things I'm concerned with. But children are the template that Jesus gave us. And there's a template here in Samuel's life. And so that trusting, bright-eyed excitement of a child. So who? Well, the Lord speaks to children. And, we need to look at that as put ourselves as children before the Lord. What was the Lord speaking? Well, the what, interestingly, it's not always easy news. It's not always great news. For Eli, it was a wake-up call that would rock his life and ultimately end his life. But it's the good and perfect will of the Father. And that's the substance. I recently had to counsel a couple that I really liked, and I'd spent some time doing premarital with them, and quite a bit of time, and at the end of that, I was prepared, they were asking me to perform their marriage ceremony, and the Lord told me it's no good, no can do, do not marry them, and I did not want to tell them that. I was afraid to tell them that. I told my wife, I was like, I wanted to avoid them, and but I had to be, responsible with what the Lord had spoken to me. And so I had to follow through and do what he called me to do. But it's not always good news, It's not always easy news. Who am I to hinder the instruction of God and his word? And so the thing, the Lord always speaks his will. That's what he speaks. Not ours, but his will. The when was the Lord speaking? Well, you look at it was in the quiet of the night. The flame had not yet gone out in the lamp. It was while Samuel was ministering to the Lord. Yes, he was sleeping, but he was sleeping in service to the Lord. And we miss out when, I think about it, when we don't participate in worship, when we don't engage our heart before the Lord, when we're preoccupied with You know, honestly, our sanctuary really is conducive to being entertained. That's not the point of it, but it's, you know, when the worship team is up here, it's easy for me to sit back and be entertained. But that's not what we're called to do. It's when we're ministering to the Lord, as Samuel was doing, not being too busy or distracted. And again, I think as a staff member here, I'm always busy on service days. But we need to sit in and we need to hear from the Lord and worship him as well, all of us. And so the Lord speaks while he was sleeping and he woke up. And it didn't matter if he was ministering or sleeping or whatever. As we look through the word, the Lord speaks at all times. And so he's always speaking to us, you know. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in with him. So that suggests that there is a voice of the Lord at all times. And so where was the Lord speaking? Hang in there, we're almost finished. The where was in that holy place, in the temple, the meeting place of the Lord. And this sanctuary here is a meeting place for the Lord. And the Lord certainly meets us here. He certainly speaks. He's speaking to us, you know, through worship, through his word. But it's really just that we see that tent of righteousness, and we saw the Old Testament symbolism pointed later in the New Testament to us. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And so we become the tabernacle, and we are the place where the Lord meets. And he speaks in our heart, in the heart of born-again Christians. And if you're not a born-again Christian, the Lord wants to speak into your heart directly. He wants to put the lamp of his Holy Spirit inside you, that you might hear from him and hear the same way that Samuel heard, or that others you may know. And so the Lord speaks in his temple. That's the where. Where does God speak? In his temple. Why was the Lord speaking? Well, the Lord had chosen Samuel, yes, and he's chosen each one of us that have responded, and Samuel responded. That's why. So the Lord chose Samuel, and he responded. The voice of the Lord is, or the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. He's looking about. He wants to support us. He wants to come in and comfort us. But the why is the Lord speaks so that we might hear, you know, simply so that we would respond, that we would hear. And finally, how? How is the Lord able to speak to Samuel? Samuel was listening and got out of bed to hear. He didn't stay in bed. The how would be simply through listening, having this expectancy. And every one of us can hear personally and privately from the Lord, not just pulpit teaching. But, you know, we want to be hearing from him. And to not expect, one of the surest ways to not hear from the Lord is to not expect it. Well, you know, that's for priests and prophets. That's for, you know, those people that are just way more spiritual than me. And that's not true. It's entirely false. Listening to the Lord, though, is something that I don't know if you have, but I have certainly not yet mastered it. And I have seasons, like I mentioned, where I expect to hear from the Lord, but I'm not listening. And how am I going to hear if I'm not listening? How are you going to hear if you're not listening to the Lord? And so, as I mentioned recently, when I had this clear word from the Lord, it was just a reminder, I need to listen. I want to be like a kid and just come to the Lord in full faith and trust that he's going to listen. And so the how does the Lord, is he able to speak to Samuel? He speaks by way of listeners. And so that would be those who open their ear to the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to have communion tonight, and we can have the worship team come up and get ready for that. But let's just pray and ask the Lord to give us that childlike faith and that listening ear. Father, we want to thank you so much just for this great example of starting out at just a little young boy at a young age, Lord, of how effective you made Samuel's ministry. And Lord, he started off on the right foot, and I know not all of us have, but Lord, you brought us, as you say, behold, in you all things have become new. We are a new creation. And Lord, so now each one of us has that opportunity. And Lord, maybe there are some here tonight, you know the hearts, that have never responded to you, or maybe this is a time when they've been away from you. And Lord, I pray that first and foremost, you would call out to them that, and they would be listening. Lord, thank you that you stir our hearts and knock on the door wanting to enter. Maybe that is you, and if it is you, you can just pray and ask the Lord in. I'll pray with you right now. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for my distance from the God who made me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you that you went to the cross for my sin. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. I believe you died for me and rose again. Come into my heart that I might be born again, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, for the rest of us, we just want to thank you that we can be so easily in access to you, Lord. Give us listening ears, Lord. May we be a listening church. May we be a church that other believers can come to and recognize when maybe they're not hearing things so well. Hey, these people are hearing it. They're listening. They know how to direct and guide. They can give counsel because they're hearing from you. Lord, that's our desire. Lord, may we be childlike. Take away our preoccupations, Lord. I know that for certain that busyness is nothing new, but it seems like our day and age has brought so much distraction. And Lord, it can be good, and yet it can be bad at the same time. And Lord, we just submit ourselves afresh to you with listening ears, childlike faith. Thank you that you're always speaking to us. So bless the rest of this evening, Lord, this communion time as we go into this song. May your Spirit just minister continuing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.